Well, all right. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you back to our Bible study that we're going to have today. Going back into our study of the angels, angels in the Bible, and what the Bible has to say about angels. I hope you've been blessed and that you've been, we're all blessed by knowing the Lord, aren't we? By having Him as our Heavenly Father, but I hope you've been walking in the Spirit and that you've been fighting the good fight of faith. And that I appreciate you coming and joining us in these studies and giving our Lord the honor that He deserves by studying His Word. You know, one of the best things that you can do to show the Lord that you love Him is by honoring His Word on purpose, getting into His Word and studying it and rightly dividing it and finding out what the Lord says. I mean, one of the most honorable things, even here on earth among humans, one of the most honorable things that you can do among each other is to honor each other's word, is to take one another's word seriously and what somebody says seriously. Not what you think they say, not what you imagine them to say or want them to say, but what they actually said. I mean, even among women and men that are married and relationships, one of the most important things is communication between each other, isn't it? And honoring what one another says and paying attention. I mean, if in a marriage, if somebody just pays attention to one another and what they say and honor what they say, that marriage is going to last a long, long time, isn't it? So you see, honoring somebody's word is utmost honor. It's utmost respect. And the Lord is no different. The Lord mentions in His word many, many, many times about people hearing His word, and not only hearing it, but honoring it, and being doers of the word, and not hearers only, see, in the book of James. So today we're going to get back, and I believe we're going to finish up this study today. We've been over quite a bit having to do with angels, and there's some things we already knew, and some things we didn't know, but that we know now. And we believe what God's Word says, right? Yes, we do. We believe what God's Word says, no matter what it says about angels, we believe it. And we go believing. So, today we're going to begin our study with a new category concerning angels' food. Angels' food. Did you ever know there was angels' food? I know there's angels' food cake, and I like that. But I didn't know that angels ate. I didn't know they ever sit down and eat. Well, yes, I did, because we talked about it in the beginning. I take that back, because remember Abraham and the three men that came to his tent, and Sarah, killed a lamb there and prepared it and made bread, and Sarah done the same, and they served them, and the angels sat down and ate, but they appeared as men, and the Lord was there with them, and He appeared as a man. So angels do eat, but there is specifically in the scriptures. You say, well, Brother TV, does the scriptures mention that there's such thing as angels' food? Why, yes, it does. Yes, it does. And let's go over it. This won't take very much study. There's scripture on it, and we'll go over it. But angels' food. Well, the first thing we want to see about angels' food is that it has been eaten by man. The Bible says so. It says that man ate angels' food. Listen to this. In Psalm chapter 78, the Bible says, "And had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. Yes, they did. And, of course, that's talking about the children of Israel while they were traveling through the wilderness and how God fed them. He fed them this angel's food for almost 40 years. That must have been some kind of food. You figure 2 million Jews and over ate this food, and God gave them this food, and they ate it for 40 years. And they complained a few times about it, but God corrected that and fixed it for them. But you figure somebody that eats the same food for 40 years and it sustains them and keeps them healthy, and they complained about it just because of their sinful nature and just because of their stubbornness a few times, not because of the food, but because they were just complaining to God. But as far as the food goes, the food was wonderful, but they ate it for 40 years, and it kept up and gave nutrition and sustenance to over 2 million Jews in the wilderness. And it was angels' food. God said with his own mouth in the scriptures, said in the scriptures, that man did eat angels' food, period. Or rather, colon. And then, but it made the statement, man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. It was called corn of heaven, angels' food. All right, and there's another scripture there in Numbers chapter 11 and verse 7. The Bible says, and the manna, now that's what the Bible called it, was manna, or that, at least that's what the children of Israel called it when they seen it first. They called it manna. And the manna was as coriander seed. It didn't say it was coriander seed. It said it was as coriander seed. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of delium. Now, that's spelled B-D-E-L-L-I-U-M, and I had to look that up because I didn't want to say it wrong, and the B is silent. It's called delium. And coriander seed is a seed. You've seen coriander seed. It looks kind of like a real small, well, there's two different kinds, or two shapes of a coriander seed. One of them's real small, and it looks like a real tiny pumpkin is the way the shape. It looks like it's round and kind of looks like a pumpkin, but it's real small. It's not the color of a pumpkin. It's a color of a kind of an orange, burnt brown color from what I've seen. But that's the only description of the manna the Lord gave us, was that it was as coriander seed. It looked like that. And the other one is not round. It's more of a football shape. It's more of a football shape. But there's two different ones that people talk about and show and you can study about and stuff like that. But that goes so many different directions, you never know what to believe. But we believe what the Bible says, that the manna was as coriander seed, okay? It was either round, looked like a pumpkin, or it was a football shape, one or the other. And it said it was a color of the color of delium. Now, I looked that up. And delium is a gum that comes from a tree, and it says that it looks the color of a pearl, and whenever it leaks out of the tree, the gum leaks out of this tree, it leaks in the shape of a pearl and is the color of a pearl, and it said that. It says the color of a pearl, and it compared it. It talked about it and compared it to the pearls that are around the New Jerusalem. The color of the pearls. Remember, the gates are made up of pearls and things like that. I don't know exactly what it is. I looked up some of that, and some of it was they called it a black tree, and it was kind of a black gummy looking stuff. But I don't believe God. I don't believe it was black. I just don't know. But it said it was the color of delium, and in the places that I studied having to do with the scriptures, or looked up, I didn't go into no deep study about it. It don't matter to me what color it was, but except that God said it was the color of delium. That's important to me. But as far as delium, I imagine it was the color of a pearl. That's what I would guess. And it was shaped either like a little football or like a little round pumpkin, shape of a pumpkin. But either way, that's what they got. And they got it for 40 years, and it was angels' food. Angels' food. Angels ate it. You said angels eat? Yep. They also eat lamb. They also eat, they ate at Lot's house. Another place. Angels' food was eaten by Elijah. Remember that? We find that in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 5 and 6. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake, bacon, on the coals, and a cruse of water in his head, in his hand. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel woke him up again and had him eat again. But the angel cooked a cake, bacon on the coals. The Lord did that too, remember? He cooked fish, but he didn't say anything about angels about that, but having to do with angels' food, that angel made it, and the ingredients come from somewhere, and the angel's the one that put it together and woke him up and said to eat. Amen. Angels' food was eaten by Elijah. Angels' food was eaten by man, eaten by many men and women and children, many of them. It was the description of it was coriander seed, and the color was delium, and that's all the Bible tells us. But there is indeed angels' food, and angels do eat. We're talking about angels. Remember our subject. We're talking about angels. All right. What else? Well, we've been over quite a bit, and during the last part of our study here, what we're going to do is we're just going to make some, bring up some truths and make some comments about angels and what the Bible has to say, and read over some scripture and just put some things out there. We've been pretty specific so far about what we have studied concerning angels out of the scriptures, how God's word described angels. You remember we went over that angels were powerful, and angels are called the elect angels, and angels were meek, and that they were unmarried. They did not marry. All right, and angels were invisible, and they are obedient, and angels have emotions. They possess emotions, and that angels are concerned in human beings, things, and the matters of human beings. And that angels appear as men. And remember the one thing that we've been studying concerning angels, and we said to remember, no matter what we're studying about angels, but one thing that we remember when we talk about angels is that they are appearances. They are appearances. Now, don't try to define that. Just take it as it is. Angels are appearances. That'll help you understand what the scripture's talking about, and it kind of falls in. Every time you see an instance or a subject of an angel in the scriptures, if you'll include that an angel is an appearance, no matter what it's talking about, it'll help you. But don't try to define it and nail it down and get it between in parentheses and all that kind of stuff and try to get deep study in it. An angel's appearance. It'll help you. Angels are organized and have various ranks and order. God is a God of order. Let everything be done decently and in order. Why wouldn't the angels be orderly? Angels have voices, remember. We studied specifically about some things about angels. Then we went into the matter of the ministry of angels, and specifically, toward believers, that they guide believers, they provide for believers, and they protect believers. Now, when we say believers, we're talking about the body of Christ. We're talking about the Old Testament believers that died in righteousness and went to Abraham's bosom. The Old Testament angels were there, and even all throughout the Old Testament and all throughout the New Testament and during the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were there. They were there at his death. They were there at his burial. They were there at his resurrection. They were there at his ascension. Angels. But particularly with the believers, angels gathered believers together. They directed activities of believers. They comforted believers. They still comfort believers today. They ministered to believers. As many, many, many Christians that by faith will tell you matters that they believe that angels were in part of their life and participated in part of their life and bringing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people tell you that. I could tell you of some things, but these are things that you know by faith, and you know because you're a believer and that you walk in the Spirit and you believe the Bible and believe what God's Word says and you believe what it says about angels, and you ain't got no problem with it. But trying to explain this to an unbeliever, don't even attempt it, because all they're going to do is just minister questions and questions and questions and questions. And believing God is not by questions. It's by faith. You believe it because God said so. Angels ministered to believers. They comfort believers. And then we went into the second part of the ministry of angels, which was to unbelievers. Unbelievers. Angels are not only used to comfort and to help and to assist and minister to the believers, but they were used to just the opposite. They were used to destroy unbelievers. Yeah. Angels cursed unbelievers. Angels carried out God's judgment, or carry out God's judgment, have carried it out, are carrying it out, and are going to carry it out, God's judgment, and to kill unbelievers with pestilence and epidemic diseases with high death rates. I don't know how they do it, but the Bible says that they did it, and they do it. I wouldn't be surprised that they are involved in the things of today, the epidemics that are going on today. We're not to walk around and try to explain things by the world's ideas of why things happen. We're to explain things by what the Scriptures say. And look at them through the eyes of God's Word. Angels curse unbelievers. Angels carry out God's judgment and kill unbelievers. Angels bring sudden death upon unbelievers. Angels chase and persecute unbelievers. That's what the Bible says. We read that. And then we talked about the ministry of angels in Christ's life, in the Lord Jesus Christ's life. They were there whenever he was a child. At his birth, they were there while he was growing up as a young man. And then the Bible did not, the Scriptures does not, we see the Lord as a babe. We see him at around 12 years old whenever he was asking some serious questions to all the leaders that knew about the Old Testament and knew about the law. And they were impressed with him about how much he knew as a young man. And then from 12 years old, we don't know anything. The Bible doesn't say anything about him until he begins his ministry and shows up there at Jordan, at John the Baptist, at 30 years old. And then the angels minister to him through the Scriptures and the Gospels, through the New Testament. We see angels there ministering to the Lord Jesus Christ. At the beginning of his ministry, we see that they were there and seen him through his temptations and were there to comfort him after his temptations. We see that they were there in his prayers. We see that they were there whenever he was crucified that he was there, they were there whenever he was buried and resurrected and ascended, that angels heralded the host of heaven. Angels heralded the Lord Jesus Christ's birth, remember? They ministered unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and they witnessed the Lord's resurrection. They proclaimed the Lord's resurrection. And angels were present at the Lord Jesus Christ's ascension. They were standing there with the crowd whenever the Lord ascended. He was taken up, and the clouds received him. They were standing there. And they questioned the people, what are you looking at? What are you looking at? This same Jesus that has ascended, he's going to come back in the same manner. That's how he's going to come and get us. Jesus created the angels. He was the Word. Angels stand ready for the Lord Jesus Christ's command. Remember that? The Lord said that there was more than to him. If he cried out to his Father when he was on the cross, the Father would give him more than 12 legions of angels that were standing ready. Said the angels were interested in looking into these things that had to do with salvation. They were interested in what the Lord, they're interested and curious about what the Lord's doing among men, these creatures called men, and mankind, want to know what's going on and why the Lord incarnated into a man, and this thing of grace that the Lord has put together for mankind. Somebody that holds his fist up to God and challenges the Lord, that God is merciful and kind to him and became flesh and dwelt among him. We see that there were special occasions concerning the ministry of angels. They were at Mount Sinai, and Moses was there and participated with the law given. Remember that? Angels bind and imprison Satan for 1,000 years in the millennial reign. And angels are present and participate with the Lord's return, the rapture, and his second advent. They're present. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and Matthew chapter 13, verse 41, 42, and 49. Then we talk about angels' appearances in the Old Testament. With the Old Testament people, they appeared to Abraham, Lot, Hagar, Jacob, Moses, Balaam, Joshua, and all of corporate Israel at once. Remember, we talked about that not long ago. And appeared to Gideon. They appeared to Manoah and Manoah's wife twice. They appeared to David. They appeared to Elijah and Daniel and Zechariah. They appeared to him. Angels appeared to New Testament people. Remember Zacharias, the priest? He was a Levite in the priest's office, John the Baptist's daddy. And the angel met him inside when he went in to burn incense, and met him in there and told him that his wife was going to have a son. And then took his voice away from him for for questioning it. For not exactly believing it, said you're not going to be able to speak until your boy's born. And when he come out of there, all the people waited on him. When he come out of there, he couldn't talk. But when John the Baptist was born, they asked him what his name was, and as soon as he said what his name, he wrote down what his name was, and all of a sudden his voice come back, and he was able to talk again. And it happened just like that, or similar to what I don't explain it like God's Word does. Angels appeared to the Virgin Mary. Yes, they did. And she said, as the Lord, whatever the Lord says, let it be as the Lord says. And the angel left, and that was that. They appeared to the shepherds. We're talking about New Testament now. angels' appearances, and you'll notice when we talk about these, when we go back over these scriptures that I've given you during this study, and see how many times the word appeared or appearance is in the same verse with angels. And angels appeared to the shepherds. They appeared to the Virgin Mary. They appeared to Zacharias. Angels are appearances. Angels appeared to Mary Magdalene. Angels appeared to the apostles. Excuse me. Angels appeared to Peter. They appeared to Philip. They appeared to Cornelius. Appeared to Paul. Angels appeared to John, and they appeared to Peter. And they went into prison with Peter, brought him out of there, remember? Angels appeared to the seven churches in the book of Revelation. Angels in the New Testament. Appearances. Yes. Many times. Many places. Many appearances. Angels are everywhere and great in number as the stars of heaven, the Bible says. Also, the children of Israel were compared to that. Fallen angels. And the Bible does talk about fallen angels. We've been over that. We've talked about all kinds of stuff in the scriptures having to do with angels in this study. Fallen angels fell by pride. Fallen angels, Jesus said that he's seen Satan fallen. Now, Satan is not an angel. He's a cherub, and we'll get into that in just a minute. The fallen angels war against Michael and his angels. The Bible says that in Revelation chapter 7 through 9. I hope you've read that. I remember giving you that scripture, I think, on the last study that we had. Fallen angels, their final state is hell and the chains of darkness and judgment. And the Bible says that they are reserved for judgment. It says that they're going to end up in everlasting fire that God prepared for the devil and his angels. So we see that there are angels in service to God. Many, many, many angels in many, many, many different scenarios, all the way from creation, all the way up until this present time, and even prophesied in the future, they're going to be there. They are there, and they are. They are. The angels of God, God himself, the angel of God, we talked about that the scriptures calls the appearance of God, an angel of God. It is spoken of as a scriptural name, and Naaman the Lord, when he appears as the angel of God in Genesis, the angel of the Lord in Genesis also. And also he is spoken of and named the captain of the host of the Lord when Joshua seen him, remember? The Lord appeared to Hagar, as an angel of the Lord, the Bible described him, to Abraham, to Jacob, to Moses, to the children of Israel, to Balaam, also to Joshua and David, appeared to them. The Lord himself, the angel of the Lord, the appearance of the Lord. Now, it does not say what he appeared as, but we see that when the Lord does appear, that a lot of times he appeared as a man. It does not say that it's Jesus. Jesus is the name of a man that God was incarnated into a man. And when the Lord was born, he was Emmanuel, God with us in the flesh, and they named him Jesus. What the Lord appeared as, a lot of people think it was Jesus, but Jesus, before his incarnation, was the Word. Jesus, as before the incarnation, is the Word of God. Now, Jesus' appearance as the angel of God, whether or not or the Lord's appearance, excuse me, the Lord's appearance before the incarnation, whether it's Jesus' person in the flesh, only God knows that. But Jesus appeared as a man and made appearances as the angel of God, and whether it was the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible does not say. The Lord Jesus Christ is clarified after his incarnation when he's named Jesus. Before the incarnation, he is the Word of God appearing as the angel of God. I hope you got that. But it's no problem. It's easy. It's what God's Word says. It's what God's Word says. But to say that Jesus was before, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word became flesh. Now we have Jesus Christ. And they shall call his name Jesus, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. Okay? God, Jesus is the name of a man that God incarnated into the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Okay? But God did appear and made appearances, and the appearance was in the form of a man a few times and times in the scriptures. But whether or not it was Jesus Christ, people say it was, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says Jesus Christ is after the incarnation. And I wouldn't get too involved in all that. The bottom line is, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. Okay? The Lord can do anything. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? No. All right. Now we talked about today before we've done this or went over all of our study just now. Angels' food. Yes, there is such thing as angels' food. Angels' food's been eaten by man. The Bible told us that in Psalms and in Numbers and described what it looked like. Okay, angels' food was eaten by Elijah. The angel prepared it. Now, let's finish this study out with some facts about angels and what the Bible says concerning some facts about angels. Now, I'm going to go right on through this, and there's going to be a lot of scripture in this. I'm not going to read all of them. I'm going to give them all to you whenever we finish up this study. But I want to go over some facts and just nail down some things. Just put it out there and give you the scripture, and you get in the Bible and see these things are true. First thing we're going to talk about is that no angel in either testament, old or new, ever has wings. Okay? You can't find it. It's not there. Now, man says angels have wings. Always has been. Every picture you see that man draws or that man puts up or some in the churches, and I understand all that, and trying to just get the truth of the matter out and this, that, and the other, using pictures and things like that. I mean, if you drew an angel and called him an angel in society today and he didn't have wings, people wouldn't believe you because it's just ground in people's mind. But according to the scriptures and what the Bible says, you'll never find an angel in the Old Testament or the New Testament having wings. Now, the devil, another thing, the devil never was an angel. He was a winged cherub. A winged cherub. Yes, he was. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 10 and 28, as for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, the face of a lion, and on his right, on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side, and they four also had the face of an eagle as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard the voice of one that spake. That's Revelation chapter 5 and 6. Now, I'll give you these scriptures. The angel was, the devil was a winged, is a winged cherub, but he was the fifth cherub in heaven before he fell. He was the fifth cherub. Okay? And we can get into a lot more. There are studies that we have that get into some more about describing that, but he is winged, and he is the fifth, or was the fifth cherub in the scriptures in heaven. But he is no more. He is thrown out. Okay, and he's called the devil and Satan. Now, not Lucifer. All right, another thing, another fact. Jesus is better than all angels. Angels worship Jesus. Jesus has a more excellent name than any angel. That's in Hebrews. That's in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 4 through 8. Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. God never called no angel his son. Not like Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has a better name than the angels. And any angel that is of God will tell you that and not let you worship him. We are not to worship angels. Angels are not to be worshipped. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Jesus is not like the angels. Jesus is better than all the angels. And the angels, any angels that's worth their weight, and worth their weight as far as praise, will tell you that the Lord is the Son of God and that he is better than them. Now, another fact. Angels can appear as people. Angels can appear as people without the people knowing they are angels. That's in many places in the scriptures. The Bible tells us in other places to be careful because we might entertain angels unawares and not know it. And if we don't know it, then it's going to be something that's common that we see every day, like people, men. You might have entertained angels and not known it. And some of you could probably testify to that, that there was something that went on, just something that was something about it. Yeah. All right. And there are scriptures to that, and I'll give you them. Now, in this study right here where we're getting into the facts about angels, all these scriptures, I'll let you know when we get into it, and you can study them, and it'll show you these facts that we're talking about, okay? All right, angels are appearances. The Bible says that in Acts, and in Genesis, and in Judges, all right? And you'll notice that a lot of the time in the scriptures, when the Bible talks about angels, it also says that they appeared. Okay? Another fact. Wherever angels are spoken of, they are spoken of as male. Yes. There is no such thing as a female angel. There is one mention in the entire Bible about an angel that is a female, and it's given It's prophesying, and I believe it's taught, and I have to study it some more, and I've studied it a little bit, but it has nothing to do with the majority. It is an exception to the rule. Angels appear as males, and they are males. They are not sexless. They are not bisexual. They're not homosexual. They are males. And they are unmarried in every instance, and except for that one, and that is an exception because of the context. And I think there's part of a study that we get into some of that. I'm not sure, but that's when you get into really dividing the Word of God and rightly dividing it and studying that. But any instance in the Scriptures that angels are spoken of, they are male. Genesis and Judges, and then the book of Luke and Acts and John, all the way to Revelation. Males. The Bible, the world, and we would guess that the world would make them females most of the time. And you see that. But that is not truth. That's not Bible. That's not what the Scriptures say. They are males. All right. Now, another fact. As appearances, angels are said to represent local church congregations or nations. Yes, they do. We find that in the Scriptures. That's not all. What else? Another fact of angels is that they are in heaven in the presence of God. Yes, they are. Luke talks about that in chapter 15, and Matthew and 1 Timothy also talks about that. All right, what else? Well, many of them left their heavenly estate to come to earth. We find that in the book of Jude and 2 Peter and Genesis, and in the book of Job, mentioned there, that many of them left their heavenly state and come to earth. All right, what else? Another fact of angels is that, finishing out this study, is that many more angels will appear in the near future. Now, take this with a grain of salt. Here it is. But you shouldn't be, when you get into the Scriptures and you read them, this is not craziness, this is truth. Many more angels are going to appear in the near future as men from outer space. And when we talk about space, if I said firmament or I said heaven, it wouldn't surprise you. But outer space is heaven. It's the second heaven. You can find that in Genesis chapter 6, Luke, Revelation, and the book of Acts. Now, I know you're standing on your head, but just settle down, take a breath. But to say men from outer space is not comic stuff. Angels appear as men. Angels are appearances. And they do travel through outer space. That's called the second heaven. They travel from here to God's presence. They go through three heavens to get there. So, if you believe the Bible, there's a lot of things that you can't sit down and discuss with people that don't believe it. They'll call you a kook. But that's what the Bible says. All right. Now, guardian angels. What's the fact about guardian angels? It seems to be a reality. In one sense, as they on special occasions minister to saints. They do. In Hebrews chapter 1, it talks about that. One ministers to Hagar in Genesis, to Jesus at the temptation, to Paul in Acts chapter 27 on the ship, and to Peter in jail. Now, this does not, it doesn't assign angels to each person. This does not assign, the Bible does not assign angels to each person, but the Bible does say, the Scriptures do specifically make this clear assignment, except children to individuals. But it's a fact that they are there immediately when we need them and instructed and ordered by the Lord. People that have been in car wrecks. People that have been in some serious immediate danger will tell you that angels were present. They couldn't explain it and can't tell you exactly what happened, but they were there. I can tell you of one instance where I know angels had to have been there. But believe it or not believe it, it's scripture. Angels are not specifically assigned. You can't say, all right, Brother Thurman, here's yours, and your angel, and he's going to follow you around for the rest of your life. It's not like that. But they are in readiness to us, to obey the Lord in assistance to us at any given second. Guardian angels. All right. The Bible does not say that they're called guardian angels. It does not give a name like that, but it does give the sense of it. What else? What's another fact? Well, the Bible always takes the existence of angels for granted. It does not say, well, this and well, that, and maybe this and maybe that, and present any kind of question. It takes the existence of angels for granted. Another fact is that the first angels occurred in Genesis chapter 16 and verse 7. When they appeared. What else? Angels are not bound by human laws. They are not bound by gravity. They're not bound by the laws that we are bound by. Angels are created beings, but the time of their creation is not revealed in God's Word. They are created beings. Angels are not affected by being in fire. We found that out in Judges with Menorah. Angels can travel great distances quickly. We found that by the angel Gabriel and Michael whenever they were at war and they was trying to hinder Gabriel bringing the message down to Daniel. Remember in Daniel chapter 10? He said he left 3 weeks ahead of time trying to get to Daniel. And the enemy withheld him and hindered him. And that Michael came and assisted him where he could get the message to Daniel. So that's a good, matter of fact, that's a good message for you. If you're waiting on an answer from God, it might not be that he's not answered you. It might be that it's on the way. And it's being hindered and fought about in one of the heavens. Yeah. Every angel that appears in the Bible appears as a young man, a 33-year-old male thereabout. Look it up. Angels are called young men. They're never sexless. This is a pagan speculation, not Bible. Angels have cohabitated before and can now. The Bible says that they did in Genesis and Judges and Luke, that they cohabitated, they lived with, and had sexual relations with women, the daughters of men. Christ said that the children of the resurrection will be as the angels of God. And another fact is that Jesus Christ is called the angel of the Lord in Acts chapter 27 and in Galatians 4. Jesus, when he died and went back to glory, was 33-year-old male, and he is called the angel of the Lord before and after his resurrection. In Matthew chapter 1 and Acts chapter 27. Now, Jesus is a 33-year-old male because when Adam fell, he was 33 years old or thereabout. Christ is called the last Adam. Jesus was 30 years old when he was baptized in Luke chapter 3. The first Passover occurred after his entrance into the ministry, John chapter 3. There are four Passovers mentioned in the Gospels of John, which makes Jesus ministry probably about three to three and a half years long, and he was crucified at 33 or at the very most 33 and a half years old. That's why we say angels are around around 33 years old is when a man is at his peak, when he's at his strongest and healthiest. Another fact is that the age of Adam at the fall and Christ's death and young men as angels are 33. That's the image and the truth that the Bible portrays, that it puts out. The eternal, now we're not going to nail this down as doctrine, and don't go telling everybody that Brother TV says that every angel's 33 years. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that's what the Bible puts out. Read it. Adam, Christ's death, the young men as angels, the Bible refers to them as young men, and a young 33. The eternal state of the believer. We're going to be conformed into the Christ image, the Bible says. What is Christ's image? He died at 33 and a half and resurrected with a new spiritual body. Why is that so hard to believe? Romans chapter 8, verse 29 is a sinless, perfect 33-year-old male. 1 John chapter 3, Philippians 3. What else is a fact about angels? Jesus accepts angels as true beings, and so does Paul. Another fact. An angel is an appearance, not a messenger. Even though they do take messages and deliver messages, they're not messengers. They're appearances. There are many angels that bring no message at all. The children's angels in heaven are not messengers. They're appearances of or for the children. The famous angels or the famous angels are powers that represent Greece and Persia, who Michael and Gabriel fought in the book of Daniel, are not messengers. They're appearances. Every angel in the Bible is an appearance of something, although not necessarily a messenger. So to say that angels are messengers, it's not accurate, even though they do take messages for the Lord and deliver them. And there is instances in the Scripture, and it is true that they do handle messages, but they are not messengers. They're appearances. As wonderful as angels are, we're never to worship them. Revelation chapter 22, verse 8 and 9. A true angel whose allegiance is to the one and true God will not let you worship him. Another fact. The Bible speaks of archangels, angels, principalities, powers, dominions, authorities, and thrones. In Colossians chapter 1 and 1 Thessalonians and 1 Peter chapter 3. There are many other creatures that God has made besides angels, archangels, cherubs, seraphims, angels. So when you think of angels, don't put it all in one great big mold on the mold wheel, because that's not what the Bible describes or says. These are individual creatures that God has made. Another fact, there are angels that are awaiting judgment. In Jude, we read that and studied it. Another one, angels have carried God's children to their destination after their bodies die. We read that in Luke chapter 16. Now, there are people say that angels are waiting at our bedside and waiting for us to escort us into God's presence. I don't know that that's true, and I don't know that it's not true. It doesn't matter to me. Either way, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, however we're transported there. It says that we're going to be at the rapture in the twinkling of an eye. Now, if angels are that fast and they take us up there to Jesus, that's fine. Twinkling of an eye is fine with me, whether an angel's there or not. There are some people that say that angels have to escort us out of the realm of the devil and escort us out of his environment that we're in, because he's the prince of the power of the air right now, and he rules down here, and that we have to be escorted by God's angels out of it. There might be some truth to that, because we find in Daniel that Gabriel was hindered bringing a message to Daniel, remember? And they had to fight their way here. So we could see where it'd be possible that you'd have to fight your way out. I don't know. But it's there. But it doesn't say specifically. And it doesn't matter. The scripture says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And the Lord says, precious unto the Lord is the death of one of his saints. So the matter is precious with the Lord. And you can be assured he's going to get us there. Okay. But as far as angels carrying God's children to their destination, we see that the angels did take Lazarus to paradise. And the rich man opened his eyes in hell, being in torments. Another fact, angels are not allowed to preach the gospel in this dispensation. The gospel of the grace of God, Pauline gospel. They're not allowed to preach that. So the Bible tells us if an angel comes to you and tries to tell you something different than what the Bible says, or it says, or an angel from heaven, to not listen to him. He said, many shall come in my name, the Lord said. And if it's an angel, don't listen to him. Because they're not allowed to preach the gospel of this dispensation. All right? Angels are going to be judged by the believers one day. That's us. 1 Corinthians 6. Have you read that? That's what it says. So angels are judged also. God judged them and said that judged them, what was it that we was talking about, with foolishness? Or what was it? It wasn't foolishness, it was something else. Folly, I think it was. I'm not sure. But we talked about that earlier in the study. All right? Just a few more here. Another fact in the scriptures about angels is no angel can ever know the joy of the finished redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're the only ones that can know that. And praise his wonderful name for that, right? We are some very privileged creatures. And we'll be very careful about how we say the name of our Lord and how we think in our hearts concerning him and all that he's done. Just by studying these angels and all the particulars and the intricate things about what we've studied about these angels, and they're all over the scriptures, and they've been serving God since since the beginning and still are and are right there, probably listening to us right now. But how God takes such interest in his creatures, not only angels, but it says he knows when a sparrow falls. He knows the hairs, the count of the hairs of your head. And we're going to talk to God just any old way. People better be careful. I mean, all these, don't pay no attention and don't listen to all these smart alecks and these idiots out here that are running that hole in their face and just blabbity blabbity. The Lord said that man's going to give account of every idle word that comes out of his mouth. If there's no meaning or purpose to that word that comes out of the mouth, it's going to be judged. And all these people that think they can say any old thing and just any old thing against God, we ought to fear God that our tongues wouldn't even make a sound that God was displeased with. And I'm guilty of that. And so are you. And we should be very careful about that. I mean, we see that in the study of angels. I mean, it just kind of refers us back to ourselves, doesn't it? That God would take such interest and use these angels, and that the angels are just all over the place and so many, and that the Lord would go out of his way to do what he did, to come down here and be born into flesh and then sacrifice it for our sakes. And the last fact that we're going to say, that angels are called stars. Angels are called stars. Now, I've tried to study that and tried to, but I'm just going to say this. Now, I ain't saying it. I ain't saying that they are, and I ain't saying that they're not. The Bible says that every star God's given an individual name. He said he names the stars. Every star has an individual name, and God knows them all. He calls them all by name. But the Bible does in Revelation chapter 1 and in Job 38 refer to angels as that are called stars. Now, you ever heard of the stars dancing for you? That stars dance? You ever just sit and stared at one of them stars and watched it dance? Just go outside one of a starry night and pick any star in the sky and just put your eyes on it and watch it and see if it don't start dancing. I don't know what that means, and I'm not saying anything or making any kind of doctrinal statement about that at all. I'm just saying that it's pretty curious. It says the angel that they watch us. And if you look up in that sky and imagine all them stars as angels, buddy, you being watched. And talking about the angels being so many of them that they're that you can't count them, look up in that sky on a real, real starry night when all the stars are shining. And pick you out a star and just stare at it and see if it stands still. Watch. All right. Well, that's all we're going to talk about angels. And we've said enough. There's no reason for you to doubt angels or be scared of them or frightened of them or to think all this gobbledygook that the world comes up about angels and fat little babe naked babies on clouds with harps and big old blonde hair look like he just come out of a beauty parlor, all nice and made up and big shiny wings and stuff like that. That's not scripture. That's not Bible. And that's not angels. God made angels, and you can believe that everything that God made is beautiful, and everything that God made is perfect, and everything that we've said in this study is scripture. And you can go back over it and read it for yourself. The Bible says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Now, let's conclude your study of angels. Thank you for honoring the Lord and studying what His Word says about angels. Let's go believing. Let's believe what God's Word says about angels. Amen? All right, well, let me give you the scriptures, and we'll wind this up. And if you want these studies, all of the scripture and everything else is written down in written form, and it's formatted just like we went over everything. You can take this study and put it alongside any audio that we've done or any kind of study that you want to do, all the notes that you've written, and you can just go right down through it, and it's fill in the blank, and all the scriptures are there. If you want them, just email me at barnhouseministries@gmail.com, and I'll send them to you. Okay? Here's the scriptures. You ready? Psalm chapter 78, verse 24 and 25. Numbers chapter 11, verse 7. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 5 and 6. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 10 and 28. I beg your pardon. Ezekiel 1, 10 and 28. Okay, next one. Revelation chapter 5 and chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4 through 8. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Acts chapter 7, verse 30 and 32. Genesis chapter 32, verse 30. Judges chapter 13, verse 1 through 20. Genesis chapter 19 and chapter 32. Judges chapter 13. Luke chapter 24. Acts chapter 1. John chapter 20. Revelation chapter 21 verse 17. Revelation chapter 1 through 3. Now, every one of these has to do with our study on angels, and as I'm giving them to you is as we progress through the study, okay? So every scripture that I give you that comes after another scripture is what we talked about in succession, one after the other. All right, Revelation, I just gave you that one. All right, Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, and chapter 10, verse 21. Isaiah chapter 63, verse 9. Luke chapter 15, verse 7 and 10. Matthew chapter 16, verse 27. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 21. Jude 6. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 through 6. Job chapter 38. Luke chapter 17, verse 26 through 30. Revelation chapter 12, verse 4 through 13. And then we got Acts chapter 14, verse 11 through 13. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. Now, most of this stuff that I'm giving you right now, today, in this study, has to do with the factual part of what we went over. I didn't read all the scriptures. I just went over the facts. And when you read down through all these scriptures, you'll see the facts that we talked about in these scriptures. Okay? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. Acts chapter 27. I don't know if I've already given you them. Genesis chapter 16, verse 7. Judges chapter 13, verse 19 through 20. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12 through 13. Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 through 4, verse 19 and verse 20. Judges chapter 13, verse 14 and 15. Judges chapter 13, chapter 14, and chapter 15. Luke chapter 24. Matthew chapter 22. Acts chapter 27. Every one of these are going to have to do with angels. Acts chapter 27. Galatians chapter 4. Matthew chapter 1. Acts chapter 27. Luke chapter 3. Does the Bible say anything about angels? John chapter 3. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. Almost there. Philippians chapter 3. Revelation chapter 22, verse 8 and 9. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22. Jude 6. Luke chapter 16, verse 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3. Revelation chapter 1, verse 20. Job chapter 38, verse 7. And the last one is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. There they are. Bible doesn't say anything about angels, does it? I bet you, I don't know how many scriptures you've got on that. Every one of them has to do with angels. Angels are all over the place. All over the place. Praise the Lord for His wonderful creatures. And we think the human race, going on, 9 billion on the planet now, or 8 billion something on the planet now, is so many people that the earth is so full that it's just no room for nobody. That's a bunch of hogwash. There's one Christian brother that teaches, Brother Hoven, that's with Christian Science. You ought to get on his site if you want to and get some of his material and read it on creation. He's a science teacher, a Christian brother that teaches that evolution, and he's got some real good material and scriptural, and uses God's word to prove every bit of it, and it's good stuff. You ought to listen to it. Talking about being overcrowded on the earth, that's been such a fat lie and scared people all day. He said you can get everybody on the planet in Jacksonville, Florida. And they have a little bit of room, but not a lot, but a little bit of room. Now, that's not overcrowded, is it? Or I might have got that. You ought to get his stuff and listen to it also. It's good stuff. And he's a good teacher. So praise the Lord for His wonderful, wonderful, wonderful word. And thank you for studying about angels with me. And just be patient with my teaching. I'm not the most etiquette and blabbity, blabbity, blab, but we understand one another and understand God's word. That's what's important. Angels, praise the Lord. And praise the Lord for what His word says about it. So we'll be going into another study on the next one. I'm not sure which one it's going to be, but we'll get into it. And the ABCs of Christian Grove. So you have a wonderful evening, and the Lord bless you. And if you need anything as far as paperwork or studies or audios or anything like that, everything's absolutely free. And I'll mail it to you if it'll make you study any better and easier. Just get a hold of me. I'll send it to you. The Lord bless you, brothers and sisters. Don't you dare quit. Don't you ever, ever quit. Stay faithful to the Lord all the way to the end and stay in His Word. Don't let nobody take His Word from you. Nobody. Amen? It's Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Grove. Bye-bye.